Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through verse 20. The Reverend Dr. Quentin Cundiff is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our scripture reading today is from Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel text that we have before us today is one that is known to all of us. I think we could all probably recite it word by word from heart. It is today referred to as the Great Commission text, wherein Jesus sends out his people with the gospel, with a task that every Christian is to go out and share the gospel with as many people as they can. Indeed, this way of thinking about the text is so common that it is even referred to in our English Bibles with this heading, the Great Commission. And undoubtedly, this is exactly the track that you would expect a preacher who's a missionary to take this text. But the problem is that this text hasn't always been understood in this way. In fact, when we try to turn the focus of this text onto ourselves, and we see this as something that we have to do, it becomes an impossible burden, and it carries with it significant consequences. First, it fails to interact in any meaningful way with the previous words of Jesus that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And that's a pretty big deal. Remember, on that mountainside outside of Jerusalem early in his ministry, Satan promised Jesus power over all the kingdoms of the earth if he would simply bow down and worship Satan. But Jesus refused. He remained faithful to his task, to his calling, and he carried out his task as the Messiah. He went to the cross for you and for me. He was shown as the only truly righteous person who has ever lived. So righteous, in fact, that his death counts for us. That his righteous blood covers our unrighteousness. But now, the risen Jesus stands before his disciples once again. He has his 11 faithful disciples there gathered before him, and he tells them that he has received a far greater reward from the Father. Jesus doesn't just have authority over the world. No. All authority in heaven and on earth is his. It is rightly his, as he is God. And it is by his authority that he will make the ministry that he speaks of happen. He calls his church into this work. Yet in 1792, a Baptist preacher named William Carey blew right past all of those words about Jesus having authority and placed a crushing weight on the shoulders of Christians for the last two centuries. He said that this command to make disciples of all nations is the personal responsibility of every Christian everywhere. I'm sure that many of you have heard that very same reading of this text. It's gotten to the point that some Christians cannot even comprehend the idea of the church as anything more than a self-perpetuating blob that exists only to get bigger and bigger wherever it may be found. So let me ask you this. How many people did you tell about Jesus yesterday? Not how many people did you support in their work of telling people about Jesus. How many people did you specifically, individually, tell about Jesus yesterday? Well, how about the day before that? Or the week before that? The month before that? You see, for many Christians, this may only be a few people. And by this metric that has been laid upon us, you are all a terrible disappointment to Jesus. And so am I. Because unless we are going out there every single day with signs and preaching on the streets, what are we doing here? Why even be here in this place doing this work? In truth, this becomes impossible to fulfill, and it can burn people out. It leaves Christians who feel uncomfortable or uncertain about sharing their faith, feeling like they are lacking as believers, that they are not good Christians, whatever that may mean. And it can eventually lead to despair if one actually takes the time to ponder the implications of this man-made imperative upon the church. Because in truth, despair is the only place where the law can lead us. And that's because the law always drives us to look at ourselves. Whether it is the law of God or even man-made laws, we are compelled to look at ourselves. We measure ourselves against the stick of the law, and we find ourselves wanting. We can never live up even to man's idea of righteousness. How much less can we measure up to God's standard of righteousness? Even if we could say that we have done everything possible to spread the gospel in the world, individually, as a single human being, have done everything we possibly could, we still must contend with the Word of God. We hear God tell us to be perfect and holy as He is perfect and holy. This is something that we know we cannot do on our own. So what are we to do? For some, the answer is to flee. We can try to flee from God. We can reject Him and His Word. We can call God a tyrant and worse for daring to make commands and demands upon us. This is one of the new arguments of atheists, that God is extorting our love from us. We can spend our lives seething in anger and rejection, seeking to fill the hollowness in ourselves that our sin has created in us. Or, we can flee to Him who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Him who has the authority to forgive us all of our sins. The one who shed His blood for you and for me at the cross. The one who died and rose again for us. The one who rejoices to give righteousness and salvation to all who come to Him. Yes, I think that is the far better option. We understand that it is Jesus' will indeed for His gospel to be preached. He does desire all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is true, and it is good, but it is still His work. He is the one who is at work when a person is brought to the waters of holy baptism. When the water was poured over your head in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it was Christ who was there giving you a new heart. It was the power of the Holy Spirit creating faith in you. Truly, Christ has not abandoned us. He is not far from us. He is absolutely with us to the very completion of this age. He is with us at our desks, in our workplaces. He is with us as we are with our families and interacting with our neighbors. He is with us as we go out into the world and live for Him. We have a Lord who tells us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And how is this true? Because of our vocations. The Lord has given you different vocations, different ways and places to serve. And in your vocation, you serve the Lord as you serve your neighbor. In the relationships that you have, the neighbors around you, the people that you know, you have opportunities to share the gospel with them. And when the door is open, we should joyfully take advantage of it and joyfully give witness to Christ every opportunity that we have. But we Lutherans are able to do this in a way that William Carey and his Baptist friends never could have imagined, because we believe that conversion is an act of Jesus, who, remember, has all authority in heaven and on earth. We don't have to convince people to follow Jesus. We aren't looking for every conversation about Jesus to end with someone making a decision or praying a magic prayer. It is absolutely acceptable to our God for us to have a conversation with someone, to give a faithful witness to Jesus Christ, and the other person to walk away without becoming a believer in that very instant. And this is because we do not know what God will do in the future. It is not our business to know how the Holy Spirit will work. That's His problem, not ours. And when we rightly understand this, it actually takes a huge burden off of our backs. It helps us to be free to live as God's people. We are able to joyfully give an account for the hope that we have without feeling compelled to make people do something that they can neither do nor we can force them to do. It is worth noting that this shift in interpreting this text to making it about the work of people wasn't accompanied with the conversion of the world. In fact, it could even be argued that it hasn't really objectively done anything to help speed the spread of the gospel. Rather, this has been a great weight hung around the neck of Christians that has been moved from one theological tradition to the next for centuries with little thought, because it sounds good. But it only sounds good because it is law. And our sinful hearts are both drawn to the law and repelled by it in equal parts. It is far better for us to remember that our Lord is the one with all the power. He is the one with all the authority. He has called His church to this work. He has called us to His service, and we rejoice that He continues to faithfully make disciples of all nations through the ministry of the word and sacraments, which are in our midst as well. So in the end, let us remember that it is about Jesus and not about us. Thanks be to God for His presence and patience with us and for us. For indeed, Christ is risen. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.